Some years ago, matter of fact, in the year of 1978, the British column have written about a fireman tried to rescue a cat. And that very day, the old woman called up into the fireman and said, "You know what? Come, try to rescue my cat. He was stuck up in the tree. I don't know how the cat climbed up there and stuck in the tree, couldn't get down." Well, the fireman rushed down a few, half an hour later. Well, they picked up a ladder tall enough to bring the cat down to a safe place and give to this old lady. Well, the old lady so gracious to invite all these firemen into her home and have a good cup of tea. They sit there and chat and talk about life. Well, and they have to go. So the firemen left the home, get on the fireman truck, and they back out and they kill the cat. Man, I can feel the firemen feel, "Man, I just rescued the cat and I killed the cat." How many of you feel like that? Sometimes you thought you'd do something good and right, and suddenly you fail. Sometimes you feel so hurt. You might did something. Do you ever feel like that? You thought you'd do in the right direction, choose the right career. Even include might be married to a right person. And then something, your life is turning to sour. And this very text, that David tried to pen this very text down, so he went through life. He lost his child. He goes in difficulty. And the curse of God fall upon Israelite because of the sin of this king. But he said that God restored my soul. He restored my soul. How can David can say he restored my soul? Did David feel restoring his soul? You know what the word soul mean in Hebrew? The soul mean, the root word is breathe, a breath. Remember the start of the same word, the same root word happened in Genesis chapter 2:7. Remember Genesis chapter 2:7 when he created man? Genesis 2:7 say, "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril at the breath of life, and the man became a living being." The same word, breathe, restored my breath. Restore me. That means a person is dying and need to restore. Another word, person is dying and someone give air. So you're a new person again. So Paul trying to understand this. You know, the sheep is going astray and he loses his life. He loses his life and the shepherd have to go out and try to find him. That's why Luke chapter 15 says he leave the 99 sheep behind and he go out and just rescue just one sheep in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, he looked for that very sheep. Restore the soul. You know, verse 2 talking about he make me lie down the green pastures. He lead me beside the still water. He's talking about the physical life. But verse the third verse talking about the spiritual life. He can restore my soul. He lead me to righteous path. He will restore your soul, my friend, if you come to him. A lot of people come living the life that they don't need God to restore their soul. They live the life that suddenly they are walking far and far away from God. Many people are today like that. They met Christ, they joined the church, and suddenly they left the church. Matter of fact, it's not suddenly. They start to drift away slowly and slowly. You know, no one goes to church and love God so much and excited about God. Next Sabbath come along, you know, I don't believe anymore. It's not work like that. It's slowly creeping into your life that you're going to start to miss one day after church and say, "You know, I'm tired, or I have to go to mall to buy something on sale on that very Sabbath day." Or the small group Bible study, "You know, I'm too tired with children and I just got home from work. And I decide not to go to the small group Bible study anymore." Anyway, all the things come slowly into your life until it's taken over your life and you don't have God in your life anymore. A person lose totally from God, breaking down, nothing. And God say, "I can take you back even though you mess up your life. if you believe in that. You see, I just thought about this. You know, God, a person willing to take your broken life back. By the way, you know, some of you buy toys, and my children buy toys, and only a few days they broke it. And I say, yeah, can we return them? They say, you don't want to return the broken toys. But God will take back your broken life. You know that? He will restore your life. So anything happen to you, don't shy away from God. God opened his door and opened his arm to receive you. He want to restore you. But we live in the life that so many worldly things come to our life. And I pray for these, for young people, even the adult. And so many times that people just on fire for the Lord, as years go by, they start drifting off. It's hurt. How can we prevent that? Why do people drifting off? Why do the sheep go astray? Start to find something out there more interesting. And that's what we do. We try to find something more interesting than the church. We find something more beautiful than what's in the church. You know, sometimes we don't see it's beautiful anymore because we stop reading the Word of God. We start to mingle with other people. And we start to lose interest. When I start to see people are not mingle anymore, it's make me worry. Because I'm afraid that person is losing interest into the church. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says as follows. It says, Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 25. And not forsaking an assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. As God approaching take us home, we should get together more often, have a Bible study, more often to fellowship, more often to support each other. Because as Christ approaching, Satan know it very well, and he will cast all the doubt in your mind, cast all the worldliness in your mind, all the secularism in your mind, that you start drift away. If you don't have the believer work with you, talk with you, pray with you, you can drift away. It's so easy at the end time, my friend, and that's what Satan will do. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 say, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the thing we have heard, lest we drift away. Remember the day that you were baptized. Remember the day that you are on fire and love God. Remember the day that you accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. Do not forget those days, lest you drift away. My friend, more and more we need to get back to God. More and more you will cry out to God, where are those days that I'm on fire for you? I don't want to live a spiritual life, feel so cold. I want to be on fire again. How about you? I want to be on fire. I want to have some purpose in my life. And so we have to go back into the Word of God. If we stick with the world, we will lose our life. You know, many people come up so many excuses, 101 excuses that we cannot go to church, 101 excuses that you cannot have a Bible study or read your Bible. And those excuses will turn to detrimental in your spiritual life, that you drift away from God. And if we start to come closer to the Word, we will lose our life. Look at James chapter 1, verse 27. Maybe I don't have time. I'm going to go through with four Bible texts here if you want to write this down. James chapter 1, verse 27. Don't be spotted by the world. Don't be contaminated by the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Don't be loving the world. Romans 12, 2. Say, don't be conformed to the world. And if you do that, else, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, or else you'll be condemned with the world. My friend, the world may be promised you something, but the end, you will lose your life. I suggest you try to focus on the Word of God. The more focus in the Word of God and Jesus' life, the more you will see what the world all about. You know, sometimes I go away from the city for a while, and get on a revival weekend or week, I come back, I see different of the world. I see the billboard. I see people talking. I see people dressing. I see it's different what I was in the camp or retreat. If you feel like so-called, you feel fit in the world, you better go in the retreat. Because we have to have a spiritual eye to see what's going on so that you cannot be contaminated by the world, my friend. We have to walk on the straight path. You see, sometimes we say, you know, just a little thing is not going to hurt. A little zip of alcohol won't hurt. You know, a lot of time we say, it won't hurt. I want to make my friend happy. But it won't be too long. You will fit right into the world. God said, you be in the world, but not part of the world. With a story, I remember someone told me about it. There's a Korean airline, 007, took off from Anchorage, Alaska, and fly to Seoul, Korea. And they, as it took off, and the computer indicates only 1 degree off. You know, 1 degree off, maybe it's not too bad to take off from Alaska to Seoul, Korea. Anyway, as the plane took off, 200 feet, 200 miles, 400 miles, 500 miles, it doesn't make any difference. We're still on track. By they reached close to Korea, they come across Russian space, airspace. And this is during the Cold War. They're afraid something happened, some weird thing happened. And so the Russian sent a signal to their plane, you know, you better get away from our space here. And they couldn't pick up the signal very well, very cold. Somehow they couldn't pick up the signal. Guess what? The Russian couldn't handle anymore. They decided they're going to shoot that plane down, and that's what they did. That plane went down. Because only 1 degree. You say it's a little bit won't hurt, right? It won't hurt. But as the time go by, as the years go by, guess what? You will just fit right into the world, and you will be condemned in the world, just like Christ said. And so if we feel like just a little bit won't hurt, that's a signal for you to stay away. You know I'm so very weak. You know, if I see something, mingle with my friend or something in bed or something, someone drinking, and say, you know, it's just mingle with people, just like Christ mingled with people in the wedding. You know what? If I feel like if I mingle long enough that I will fit right into the world, I better run. Just like Joseph, you know, he ran away from sin. There's sometimes we need to run away and don't mingle with the world. That's what God said right here, back to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23 says, He restored my soul. If you feel like broken today, you feel like you lost, you feel like there's no hope, God said, I will restore you. I will bring you back again. I will make it brand new. Brand new. Sometimes we walk in the world that we face a lot of problems. And a lot of problems come to you. You decided, well, I can't handle anymore. So I end my life. Or if I follow God so long and I have so many problems, God don't care about me anymore. I pray and pray. I still have marriage problem. I pray and pray. I still have problem with my children. I pray and pray. I couldn't find a job. You find so much trial in your life. You can't handle anymore. My friend, I want you to rest assured, walk on a Christian path, you will have trial. Don't think you become a Christian, all the trial will go away. But what will you do when persecution and trial come about? This young man came to a church, he not live too far away from here. He come to the Bible study, he loves the Bible so much, he learned about Jesus Christ, and he accept Jesus Christ, and he believed, that's it. When I join the church, I'm free, I have no problem. After he baptized, a week later, I come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I don't know why I have so many trials after I baptized. Well, I tell you, you know, I did not promise you that when you become a Christian, you don't have trial. Well, he decided, you know what? Maybe I need to study the Bible some more. Maybe I rebaptize, make sure it's correct baptism, so I won't face so much problem. Well, I said, are you sure you weren't baptized? Well, I said, yes, I'm sure I wasn't baptized. And so I baptized him again. And he said, this time is sure. Well, after he baptized, I expect blessing from God. Guess what? He had more trials. I said, Pastor, you know, I don't know. I thought when we go with God, God promised all the peace and wonderful thing in life. Well, the Bible didn't say that all thing. He said, you will go through a trial as well. A trial is blessing for you. But the men didn't see that. And he begged me, can you baptize me the third time? I said, I think two times is right enough. I mean, there's only a year apart. You know, how many times you want? No, I want to baptize. And so, you know what? I don't know what the Holy Spirit said. Well, okay, I baptized you last time here. He baptized. A week later, he left the church. Because he was mingled with the world. Why he want to walk with God? He used to go out drinking and party, whatever. And he just go into the world. You see, my friend, when trial come, God say, it's a blessing to have trial. What I say? It's a blessing to have trial? Well, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Read this very text here. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. More than one trial. Count is what? Joy. Be happy. Be happy. I mean, sound weird, right? Sound Christian? Be joyful when you got on fire. I mean, fire lay off from your job. Be happy. Maybe God have in store for you something better. See, we as a Christian, we have to think something positive. God not going to take a good thing out of you, right? Like parents don't take a good food out of the children. God will have something better for you. But you have to go through trial. Why? Because you need to depend on him. Just like a sheep always depend on the shepherd. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produced patience. Right? You have a problem with it? You have a patient problem? Well, guess what? Trial will come to test your patience. Be humble. Be ready. Talk less. Listen more. Take time. Don't rush to things. Verse 4, let the patient be his perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My friend, there's many trials in your life. Sometimes you don't want, but God says it's good for you. God says it's good for you. Just like I tell my children, they don't want to eat Russell Brown. They don't want to eat Gai Bai San, you know, it's very bitter. Or bitter melon. I say, it's good for you. You might not know it, but there's a lot of vitamin C. Right, doctor? There's a lot of vitamin C. The more bitter, the better it is. You know, we don't know. We don't have a whole life to live. But some people already go through life. They have no better. God already knows exactly what you need. He allowed trial and persecution come to improve in your faith. My friend, one amazing thing in my life lately, matter of fact, for the last 2 years, my faith, I believe, grew tremendously because of this mission center. $1 million is impossible, right? Pastor Yeh said, you know what? I think I'm a great nephew of his. And he called me. He said, great nephew, you're crazy, you know? I said, don't even talk $100,000. You're talking about $1 million. Yes, I know it's crazy. I even told God, I don't want to do it. And say, what? God said, you do it. I said, I don't want to do it. You do it. Well, then you show me a plan. Then he showed me a plan, and we start doing it, and we will face so much trials, so much problem from the city, from finance, even from church members, from everywhere. But you know what? God teach me a lesson. Bow down and fast and prayer. He will bless you, and he will take control. And when we come to the point that we say, where is the money going to come from? How are we going to raise funds? And I know this, Lord, this is your work. I know you will be finished this work. So when we completely confidence in him, he will bless us. Well, we've been fundraising, just a little bit, side note. Last week, we have Father's Day. You know, the wonderful Father's Day. I don't want to stand up and call, you know, for a special offering. We didn't do any of that. Guess what? Some people donate $5,000. Because on the Father's Day, because her father was on that birthday. It's Father's Day. And that's his go, Sung-hun, go Helen. That's his daughter of Pastor Musi Lihu that passed away. She gave $5,000. I said, wonderful. I even make a call. During the week, I will receive another $1,000 from Chinese church. I have not been there. I don't know the pastor. I said, you know, I think you need $1,000 for your mission center. Praise the Lord. See, God, if you trust on God, you pray. You know, pray, pray, work. You know that? If you work on your own, but you pray, God will do the work. That's what it is. That this is test my faith. And there's something in your life, God will test your faith. You know how back in Israel, when the shepherd lead the sheep, and sometimes sheep is very, very hard to lead. They don't listen. You know, when you say, dog, run, they will run. The sheep say, go there and eat. They just sit there, bah, bah, do nothing. You have to pull them and lead them. And you know, and that's what I heard the story. I don't know how true it is, but some people are using this technique. You see, when the sheep just born, they break their leg. And they break their leg and they bring into their barn and they nurture and they stick their sheep with the shepherd. They eat together and they feed the sheep with milk and they take care of the sheep so good. So why are they doing that? Because in the future, when the sheep grow up, they say can depend on the shepherd. They know this is my shepherd. I know his voice. I know he loved me. I know he cared for me. You know, maybe we can apply that in our life. Sometimes God allow hurt try in our life. Because we can depend on him. You know that? If you run away from him, maybe he allows something happen to you that you can depend on him. This is a very true story. You know about my Famti Mai? She was into the world. She opened a nail shop, a nail saloon, whatever it is, pedicure. One place to another, she have gone to two or three places, you know, about Famti Mai. She's so rich. And people come and they witness her to the Bible, read the Bible, and here you find some blessing to your soul. She said, no, I don't want it. I don't have time. Guess what? Suddenly, she was in a car accident. Lost her son in the hospital for 1 month. Have nothing to do but read the Bible. And she found Jesus Christ in the hospital. And she, when she came out of the hospital, she praised God. She said, thank you, God. You allow persecution in my life so I can come back to you. And so, my friend, when try persecuting your life, don't try to ignore. Maybe God allowed it happen for good. All right? Not all the trial and persecution. Sometimes it's our fault. For example, cancer happened. Sometimes we say, maybe God allowed me to have cancer. No, sometimes what you eat, you know, is bad. So don't say all the persecution and trial because God allowed it. All right, the second part of Psalm chapter 23. He lead me in the path of righteousness. The path of righteousness. So I'm assuming David said there's more than one path. There is one path. There's one religion. There's one way that you can have eternal life. There's one, only one. You know, today we live in the world. People say, there's many ways to lead to Rome. Many ways to go to heaven. But God says, only one way. We live in the world that they believe there's no absolute truth. My friend, God says, only one way. I don't care what the world teach, but my Bible says, only one way. But the devil will paint so many ways for you. Back in the old time of David, when the shepherd take the sheep out to eat and drink and coming back to home and getting dark, and the sheep go back into the same trail. Sometimes the path is so many paths in the way, right? And so you don't know which direction to go. And so back in the old days, the one path leading to home or back to the kingdom, but other path that the enemy draw another path so you can go. By the time you go deep enough, the enemy will rob you. Well, sometimes maybe nature takes away to create another trail that you think that's the right path, but it's leading nowhere. And so that's what it is. Today, same thing happened to us. You know, it's only one way to get home safely. There's another way that you go that created by the enemy, and once you go deep enough, Satan will take your life away. Nowhere return. However, there's another path that you keep going and going and going and go to Neverland, leading anywhere. Which path do you want to take? How do you know which path is right? How do you know? God will impress you. God will teach you. God will take care of you to lead you in the righteous path. You have to listen. There's a man by the name of Sam Benson. He was a farmer in the day and a policeman in the night. And one day he ready to go to church. He received a call from the police department. Said, you know, we're short of a guy, a man. Can you come down and drive a police car? And so, well, he took off his church clothes. He put on the police uniform. He go on down to the police station and sitting there waiting for a sergeant to come. And two, the sergeant and him take off on the police car. I said, well, Sergeant, where we go? He said, well, anywhere. We just patrol around. Well, they come to our fork, two-way, left or right. And asked the sergeant, which way should we go? Well, it doesn't matter. Just take any way. Well, he decided, well, okay, I'll take a left side. So he took a left road and drive happily. Said, everything's fine. Well, suddenly something happened. Another patrol going to hit the same place, a fork, and decided to make a right turn. I don't know why. Maybe left turn, someone already took it. He make a right turn. As they make a right turn, as Benson tell the story, that car took a right turn only a half a mile. Only half a mile. They hit on the bomb. A big explosion. So large, they couldn't find the body. And Benson said, you know what? I don't know why I make a left turn. Now I know. God probably is telling me that. My friend, there's time in your life. You don't know why you're doing it. You know how. But God saved your life. God saved you so many times. And there's times, sometimes we ignore his direction. God saved my life so many times on freeway. I could have a big-time car accident. Now, when I was in the world, and I thought, you know, I don't care about God anymore, but God still cares for me. You know that? Even though you ignore God, God still cares for you. I think I shared with you the story before. Some of you might have not heard it, but when I was young in the world, I go party all night. I mean, the party was not starting until midnight, you know that? I mean, if you go 11 o'clock, it's still too early. Midnight party starts, you go to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. By the time I drive home, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if I get drunk or not, or I feel sleepy or not. I just pass one red light at a time. I still remember. And zoom, I don't know anything anymore. Next morning, I found my car still running in front of my parking lot of the apartment. How did I get here? Who drove this car? Man, it woke me up and said, thank you, God, whoever you are. You saved my life. You see, when you still ignore God, when you say, I don't believe God, God still cares for you. God still cares for you. Today, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I want to let you know that Jesus still loves you. But he hopes you come back. Because one of these days, you might take a wrong turn. Right? Some people will take a wrong turn one of these days. But he lead us into a path of righteousness. How do he lead us? Turn with me into the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. For those hard time to remember the Bible text, I always remember John 3, 16, right? Right? And say Jesus love you and he saved you. Well, 2 Timothy 3, 16. And saying that he will instruct us. He would instruct us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everything. Old Testament and New Testament. And for profitable for doctrine. is benefit for your life, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Four things. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. See, a lot of time we come to church, we want to hear a nice, soft sermon, and we don't want people to tell us what we're doing wrong. And if a pastor teaches too much about the law, sometimes he loses a lot of members. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about conversion or repentance. My friend, my Bible says that when you come to the scripture, when you go to church, he will reprove you, make you learn doctrine, correct you, and instruct you. What are these mean? What does it mean by for doctrine? Why is doctrine important? It's to let us know what is right. If you don't learn doctrine, you don't know what is right. Why what for reproof is what is not right. Tell you what is not right and what is right. Why is for correction? Correction is how to get right, and for instruction, how to stay right. You understand, my friend? God wants to lead us to a right way, and he wants you to stay that way. If you come to church and you leave the church, you feel like, well, it's a good sermon, but I don't feel I need to change anything. There's something wrong with the sermon. Right? When you leave the sanctuary, you ask God, what you want me to change? And you feel like you do not change anything, or you don't need to change. There's something missing. Because every time you come to the Word of God, God will teach you to change. Because every way we walk is a wicked way. He wants to take us back and back again until you walk in the righteous path. And so when you come to the Scripture, don't ignore it. What God tells you to change or rebuke you, do not ignore it. Like Peter, when God rebuked him, he said, Lord, help me. Instead of Judah Iscariot, when he was rebuked, he ignored that. My friend, do not ignore God. God will correct you, and he will give you instruction so you can walk in the right path. He will lead you. He will not force you. Right? Have you seen the shepherd lead the sheep? And say, they don't use the rod and hit them in the back to lead the sheep. No, he lead them by feeding them. Right? Here's some food here. Come, 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 come. One sheep will follow the shepherd. The rest will follow. God lead us by feeding us. Feeding us by the word of God. If you don't want to eat, God cannot lead you. So you have to eat the word of God every single day. The word of God is true, is pure, is righteous. He will lead us by feeding the word of God, my friend. If we don't eat the word of God, if we don't read the word of God, we're going to drift away. We're going to drift away. We have to eat every single day, every day. And God will help us. How do the sheep know his shepherd? You know John chapter 10, remember? The good shepherd is know my name and know and listen to his calling, right? When the shepherd say, hey, come, they can know. But if a stranger come, hey, sheep, come. If they know the shepherd very well, they won't come. You understand? It's so important. So many people today, just a little kid, remember a story I think I shared with you, that little kid, when they say, hey, there's a candy, come, come. Children love candy so much, forget about who is the owner, who is the father, who is the parent, who is the master. They will come. But the children know the voice of the guardians. They know who is right. So today, same thing. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the word of God or listen to the word of the world? Sometimes it's not black and white. You know that? But you have to dig deeper in the scripture to know what is right. You know, you got to dig into deep the word of God. People say, well, for example, people come and say, well, I want to make a divorce. And say, Pastor, I know, thank you for marrying me, but I'm divorced now. But there's no biblical proof that based on that you can be divorced or be married or do anything. You have to lean on the word of God to direct your life. And God will give you the signal. How would you know the signal? How would you know clear as a daylight? You have to listen day in and day out. That signal alone gives you a right direction. I want to end with a story here. This is the biggest plane crash in Tanzania back in 1977. When the KLM plane took off on the runway and listened to the to direction, give them a signal to go on to take off on the plane. And there in the plane, there's two pilots, one the senior pilot and the junior pilot. And the senior pilot said, yeah, I heard they say we can go, and you can take off. And the junior pilot said, no, I don't think we have a clear signal. And so they make a little argument, the junior pilot, let's say, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I don't have much experience. And so they go on their way to start to take off when they don't have a signal, clear signal. As they're about to take off on the runway, another plane come down on the runway, and both of them clash. 555 people dead on the spot because just one clear signal. My friend, the signal that you receive from God is so important. If you don't know the signal, you better ask second time. If you don't know God's will for you, you better read the Bible. Ask a pastor. Go into Bible study group. Because if you just take any fake signal you have, and Satan probably will send you a fake signal, you will kill your life. Forever. Forever. I hope that story will teach us a lot. Do you signal, do you receive signal from the power source? From God? If you don't, it's time to do it now. Every day of your life, every minute of your life is a dangerous road out there. You might not see it, but it's dangerous, I'm telling you. You better depend on God every single second of your life. God, direct me. If I'm going the wrong path, straighten me out. Doesn't matter how hurt I get, even if I lose my house, my job, I want to go to your direction. And if any of you today, the first time heard about the Word of God, that Jesus will lead you, I'm telling you, it's for your own good, for your eternal life to read it. Because this Bible will save your life. Will save your life. Don't take for granted. Because we have a good shepherd. We have Jesus Christ who will lead you through thick and thin to our eternal home. Shall we pray? Dear Lord our God, thank you for being our shepherd. You love us so much to rescue us, to save us. I pray that every man and woman this morning to hear your calling. If we drift away because of worldliness or secularism, help us to come back to you. And if anyone here, first time ever heard about Jesus Christ, a guidance or a shepherd, Lord, instruct them, help them. Send extra Holy Spirit to teach them to know about the right path. Only the path of righteousness can lead to eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you to die for us, to take us home. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.